season of doing those things, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I love summer because my whole family is together and we're able to really focus on the things that we love to do best, which is be together, which is celebrate life and love one another. They say summer is a time to rest. I don't know who they is because that's not what my summers look like. Right? Anyone else have summers like that where it's like, you know, school's here and you're ready for a break, right? Because like, okay, back to normal, back to routine. But I believe that summer's a time to be refreshed, to be renewed. And I want to encourage us this morning to seize the season that the Lord has you in with your family and to seize the opportunity to be rejuvenated, to be encouraged, and to really connect with those that are close to you in your life during this season. Because I think it's an important season to be in. And to really enjoy this summer. It doesn't mean that it's a time to shrink back and just like, you know, disappear from life and humanity and we'll see you in September. Because that's not healthy either. You'll get a little batty. But it's a time, I believe, to strengthen relationships, strengthen your family, and get ready for the things that the Lord has for you. And I tell you, summer's come, hasn't it? I had an opportunity to go to a pastor's conference this week, and it was in Arizona, and it was really hot, like 108 degrees hot, almost too hot, but I wasn't complaining. Don't hear that. But someone said this week, man, you picked a bad week to go to Arizona because summer arrived in Washington. Right, and so I'm glad you guys got to enjoy some as well. But by nature, I'm an observer. I observe people. I'm kind of one of those, like, usually, any other people watchers out there? Yeah, most people that are people watchers are, you know, a lot of our seasoned saints love to watch people. I've always loved just to watch people. And so this week and over the years during summer, I have observed four types of sun people. You know, when the sun comes out, sun people. And when we talk about sun and sunburns, the title of my message this morning is Summer Burn. But I have noticed four types of sun people. And so I believe all of us can identify with one of these four types. The first type is what I'm calling the ones who avoid the sun at all cost. Okay, we've got some of those avoiders out there. More power to you. That's great. But they're the ones who stay inside for the sake of not getting kissed, sun-kissed at all by that big sky, right? They're the ones, for whatever reason, they're just in there and they just say, in order to enjoy the sun, I need air conditioning and a TV or air conditioning inside. Okay, so that's the first type this morning. You know, I think the danger about those type of people is they almost miss out on something that they were created for, right? I mean, there's this big thing in the sky, and they need a piece of it. So I feel bad for those type of people. The second type of people is, and again, who's the first type? Some of you might not want to admit this one, but you know, you've always got that one guy that thinks in order to have a good summer season, you need to get that first burn out of the way. And he's the guy, when everyone else is tan, this guy is now inside because not even a tent will keep the sun off of his back. Right? The guy that just says, I'm just going to get Red Lobster and then I'm going to be ready for the sun. Any of those kind of guys out there? We've got a couple. They just say, I just got to burn once and then I'm good. Unfortunately, I've done that before, like on day one of vacation, and yeah, that's about the only Sunday I had because I couldn't even do anything else because I was too burnt. So that's the second type of person this morning. The third type, and this is probably where I would say I would identify with, is the people whose intentions are really pure when it comes to the sun. You know, they get out there and they put their first sunscreen on, and they swim like a duck all day, and at the end of the day, they're shocked that they got burned. Because I put suntan lotion on 12 hours ago, and I'm still burned. And so the only logical thing to do in that situation is to either blame it on a bad batch of sunscreen. Oh, I must have gotten a bad batch. Or this must be expired, and it got labeled wrong. So I'm going to blame the, I've done that, right? Oh, this is just a bad batch. So that's the third part. Your intentions were good. I got sunscreen. I'm good to go. And then the last one is what I would say is probably like a lot of moms are probably in this boat because moms are awesome, would be the ones who start off with sunscreen, take times like every 30 minutes to take a break, take a 5-minute rest, reapply, go back, enjoy the day, reapply. They not only enjoy the day, but they probably enjoy the whole vacation because they're able to pace themselves. No one gets burned. Everyone just gets nice and crisp. And so those are the four types that I've observed. Whoever y'all are, you want to be number four. Okay, we all want to be that guy that puts it on every 20 minutes. And I just say probably listen to your mom more, listen to your wife more, and you'll probably be okay on that. But this morning, in a serious sense, I want to talk about avoid getting burned spiritually and emotionally. Okay, because I think it's so easy in the life that we live to run and get burned, get wore out, get tired, and then unfortunately, you're then not very good to not very many people, right? You get burnt out, and then you need to recuperate, and you need to recover. And so we want to talk about truly enjoying the season God has you in and being effective in that season as well. When we talk about not getting burned spiritually, hear me, we're not talking about just not getting burned just because we don't want that, you know, we don't want to be tired. But I think when we're talking about living a life that is built for the long haul, we're talking about it because we want to be effective to as many people as possible. Okay, we're not living and running a long-distance race just so we avoid getting burned. We do it because we want to be effective for the kingdom of God. And we want to truly live out all the days that God has ordained for us. So if you turn in your Bibles, and I have it on my screen, to Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, and it says this. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So we have to understand this morning that the Apostle Paul is talking about running and living a lifestyle of faith. Okay? He's talking about running the race that God's called us to run. And in this scripture, I've got a few different points that I want to point out. The first thing I want to encourage you this morning, as you are wanting to avoid the burn, avoid the tiredness, avoid getting burnout, is number one, you are not alone. Okay, I want to tell you this morning that you are not running your race alone. Okay, you are not alone. Okay, verse 1 says, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Okay, you are not alone in your running. You are not alone in your walk of faith. Okay, the sin and the struggle that might surround you, you are not the only one that has struggled with that sin before. You are not the only one that can identify with the issues and the circumstances that are going on in your life right now. I think that's one of the main tactics of the enemy, is he likes to lie to us in that little voice and say, you're the only one that can identify with this sin. You're the only one. You're the only one that struggles with whatever you're struggling with in your life. And he likes to do that in our minds so he can isolate us and keep us quiet. Because I think if we understand that, hey, we are surrounded by others who are running the race, we are surrounded by others that can identify with that type of sin, then that means that we get to glean on one another and we get to encourage one another. But see, the enemy likes to keep things in silence. The enemy likes to keep things in dark places so he can keep you isolated. And we know when you're isolated, you're subject to get discouraged, and then you're subject to get taken out. I think one of the main tactics of the enemy is isolation. And he wants to make you think that your sin is unique, that no one can understand, that no one has gone this way before. And so therefore, no one can understand your battle. And this morning, I want to encourage you that you are not running alone. Can I say that to whatever season of life that you are in? You're not running alone. Young moms, you're not running alone. You know, grandparents, you are not running alone. You're struggling this morning in your marriage. You are not struggling alone. Okay, you're not struggling alone. Number two, we need to understand this out of Hebrews 12, that entanglements will come. I wish they wouldn't come. But the fact of the matter is entanglements in your life and entanglements in my life will come. And I don't know about you, but we talk a lot about God's will. And sometimes when we think about God's will, in our mind we go to different places and we have pictures of what is God's will looks like. And in my mind sometimes I look at the road of God's will, and my road that I picture in my mind of God's will is a perfect, brand spanking new, concrete, paver-paved road that's long and windy, and there's no imperfection in that. But unfortunately, that's not the case always, is it, when we talk about God's will? Sometimes when you're in God's will, you experience bumps. You experience potholes. You experience things that you wouldn't anticipate along the way. And then we begin to doubt ourselves and we say, hey, this might not be God's will. And then we begin to question the season God has in us. But I want to encourage you that God's will does not mean that it's absent from entanglements or it's absent from potholes. Because I believe some of the very truest things about God's will is that you are persevering under trial. And that you are continuing with the circumstances to go forward to what God has for you. Okay, the word entanglement, it means this. It means ambush or in circles. Okay, so you're running, you're serving God, you are doing what God's called you to do, and then all of a sudden, out of the blue, what happens? You get ambushed. You get entangled. And it wants to take you out, and it wants to discourage you. And I want to encourage us this morning, we're talking about avoiding the burn, that I believe we need to become masters in life, not at avoiding entanglements. Because you ever met people that just try to avoid problems? And you can't run from problems all the time, right? Good luck. But we don't need to become masters at not avoiding entanglements. But I truly believe that God wants to teach us how to become masters in throwing off the entanglements that easily discourage us. Amen? Because when they come, it's not avoiding it. It's saying, can I throw it off? Can I push it aside? Can I not allow it to discourage me to the point that I miss God's will in the process? So God wants to teach us how to throw those things off, how to shake them off, how to not let the circumstance of life trip you up. Why? Because there's a race that needs to be run. Because there's a harvest that needs to be saved. That's why we shake those things off. Because there's purposes that need to be fulfilled in our lives. Okay, the third thing this morning that Hebrews 12 talks about. It talks about endurance. Now, if you've ever ran, you know everyone wants to be a sprinter. Okay, the endurance thing is not my favorite E word. Okay, endurance means I've got to train. Endurance means I'm going to be tired for a long time. I'm going to have to press through. But we need to realize as Christians that the race is long. Okay, if you continue to study the word endurance, it means to remain firm under suffering or misfortune. Okay, that enduring means there might be suffering going on, but you are enduring that, not just putting up with it, but you are pressing through with it. Okay, putting up with that. It also means the ones who endure are the ones who remain durable under resistance. Now, the other day, I decided, like, I haven't worked out in a long time, and I was going to run. And let me tell you, these little legs couldn't endure more than about, 200 meters. Okay, it was not good. Okay, we've got to understand that endurance really means that we're durable under resistance. Well, how do you build resistance, right? By practice, by suffering more resistance. It's really interesting. I was thinking about endurance, and I was thinking about seasons, because God is a God of seasons. And I was thinking about in my life, a lot of times I put deadlines on the seasons that God has for me. Right? Oh, well, you know what? My season of winter is only going to last, 4 days. Or man, this season of summer, I'm going to have it last forever. But we put timelines on things, and then when the reality of our life doesn't reflect the timeline that we have laid out in our head, what happens? We get disappointed. We get discouraged. We say, well, man, God, what am I doing wrong? Or God, why have you forsaken me? Because what's going on? You're calling me to endure, and I don't want to endure anymore. I want to be done with enduring. I want to be done with this season. And so we've got to be careful that as we're running the race, that we don't look ahead and allow what we see ahead to cause us to give up prematurely. Have you ever ran a race and thought the finish line was like right there and only to realize it was just a checkpoint? But you've already talked yourself and your body out of it and thought, if I just make it to there, I'm done. Good luck, right? Good luck getting the next portion done. Okay, so endurance. We need to understand that the race we're running is long. And God wants to build up endurance spiritually and emotionally in our life so we can truly run the race that God's called us to run. Number four, we need to realize this out of Hebrews 12, that we do not need to set the pace. You don't need to set the pace. Growing up, and still to this day, I'm pretty competitive. I don't like to lose. I don't like to get second place, especially when it comes to like racing. And God has gifted me with 5-foot legs, so I can truly take like big steps. I'll never forget years ago running with somebody, and God did not bless them with long legs. And it was not good because my steps were like 2 of their steps. And so it was hard to run together. But when I used to run, and we used to do like a fun run at the church. I don't know why we did that, because it wasn't really fun to run. But anyways, we called it a fun run. But what I would do is I would set my pace on the guy who's leading the race. And I would say, okay, I'm going to keep up with that. And then at the right time, I'm going to make him eat my dust, right? I'm going to pass him. I'm going to do those things. And we need to understand as we're running the race of life that we don't need to set our own pace. Because it says that Jesus has already provided the example for us. Okay, read it out of Hebrews 12. Okay, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him already endured the cross, despising the shame, and he's now seated with the right hand of God. We need to understand that we, as we follow the Lord, because he's already set the pace, he's already endured the cross, he's already showed us how to live a victorious life. Right? We don't need to do it on our own. We don't need to try to figure it out. If we look and say, Jesus, how did you endure? How did you suffer persecution and be victorious through that persecution? He already ran the race. And he said, I've called you to do greater things than the things that I've done. Okay, so we don't need. So take that pressure off yourself this morning. You don't need to set the pace. You need to look to the one Jesus who's already said it for you. Amen? Awesome. Okay, four areas of your life that I want to talk about. And I believe as we look at these four areas, if we truly say, Lord, would you shine your life on these areas, I believe that we're going to avoid burnout. I believe that we're going to avoid having to take a break because we just can't do anymore. And let's look at what Paul is saying to the Galatian church this morning, out of Galatians 6, 9 through 10. And we got to understand a few things about the Galatian church. Okay, we got to understand that this church was working hard for the harvest. They were working hard to see souls saved. They were working hard to establish things in their lives and in their culture that would see the kingdom advance in a greater way. So they were pouring out. They were sowing seeds. They were, you know, doing what you and I would do in our lives to advance the kingdom of God. And they were getting to the place where the promise that they were promised by the Lord had not been fulfilled yet. Okay, there was dreams and there was expectations that they knew were theirs, but they weren't walking in them yet. Can you identify with that this morning? That, because I know I can. And it says this. It says in verse 9, it says, let's not get tired in doing what is good at just the right time. Can you say that this morning? Just the right time. Okay, that's what the New Living says. It says, at just the right time, you will reap a harvest of blessing, capital I, if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. Okay, so number one, it says, don't get tired in doing good. Okay, what he's not saying is he's not saying, stop doing what is good. He's not saying that this morning. Okay, he's just saying, in your good, in your doing what God's called you to do, don't get tired of it. Don't get tired in it. Okay, and I think a lot of times we get tired and we say, well, I'm tired, so that means I need to stop doing what is good. Come on, hear me, right? Man, I'm exhausted, I'm burnt out. I must need to stop doing something that's causing me that burnout. And I believe the Lord would say, hey, you need to evaluate that, but you just need to stop getting tired in doing the good that I've called you to do. Because we're called to do good to one another, especially to those who are fellow Christians and fellow believers. And I think about my own life. I like to do that a lot when I'm preparing a message. And I think a lot of times the reason I get tired isn't because I'm just doing too much. A lot of time there's room in my life to add a little bit more. Sometimes there's not, but a lot of times there is. But I think the reason I get tired is usually there's something that's in my life that's out of order. Usually I'm not aligned correctly with the heart of God, or there's an aspect in my life that just isn't quite there yet, and that's the reason I'm tired. It's not because I'm doing too much necessarily. It's because God wants to further align me to his plans and his purposes in my life. Okay, but again, that's just me. And he's trying to get a hold of an area in my life that he wants to see me grow in and become more like him in. So he's saying, the author of the scripture is saying, hey, and you're pursuing the harvest, and you're advancing the kingdom of God in your life, don't get weary. Don't forget why you're running the race. Because I think sometimes in our Christian life, it's very easy to lose sight of what God has called you to. It's very easy to lose sight of the promises that he's spoken over your life. And again, when you do those things, you're going to then grow weary and grow tired. Okay, and again, for the case of the Galatian church, right, their goal was to see the Galatians know Jesus. And they had a promise that was given as an inheritance. But as they were sowing seeds, as they were tilling ground, they were growing tired because they lost sight of what God had spoke over their life. So this morning, I want to remind you to not lose sight over the things that God has promised you. Don't lose sight of those things this morning. Okay, I made you repeat it at the right time. Okay, we said at the right time. Let's not get tired of doing what is good at just the right time. I want to encourage you again that God is the one that controls the seasons of your life. And in a moment's notice, your season of winter can, in a moment's notice, all of a sudden become a season of harvesting. Right now, everything can change. Because when the Spirit of the Lord says the season's changed, everything changes in your life. I think of Isaiah 43:19, and it says, "Behold, I'm doing something new, and it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" So when the Spirit of God says the seasons change, your circumstance still might look the same. Your marriage that you believe is going to have some breakthrough, things might not change in the natural by your eye right now, but everything could be changed in the Spirit. And that's when we need to discern the season of God. And when the season and the Spirit of God wants to do something, nothing, no force of hell or man can stop the Spirit of the Lord. And so when the Lord says you are in a new season of a job, you are in a new season of your marriage, you're in a new season of your parenting, your circumstance still might be the same, but everything is different in the Spirit. And I believe this morning we need to realize that our just the right time might be right now. It might be right around the corner. And I want to encourage you to press on for that now moment that God has for you. You know, I believe that there is a drawing, that God is drawing many of his people closer to him. And he's preparing a moment for you where there's going to be a collision. A collision with your life and your circumstances and the Spirit of God. You know, I'm reminded of a story in the New Testament when I believe it was a mother and she had just buried her son. And the mourners, had just left and they were mourning. And they were on their way to bury the son. And Jesus and his disciples were on their way and they had a collision. The spirit of mourning had a collision with the spirit of life and the spirit of Jesus. And guess what happened? Life won. Jesus raised that guy from the dead. And I believe many of us are in a season where God is encountering you and you're about to have a collision with the God of life and the God of hope. At just the right time. There's a collision that's about to happen. It's a good collision. And I just want to encourage us this morning, as the Bible said, to do good. Okay, it says do good, especially to those who are like-minded, especially to those fellow Christians. Do good. Okay, I was thinking this week about the areas in my life, and I believe that there's four areas. It's kind of the day of four, right? We're doing four different things. But four areas in my life and in your life that I believe as we live a balanced life, we will not get tired in doing good. The first area, and I'm going to say it on a Sunday, and I apologize. I'm going to say the W area, the W word, work. Okay, again, I apologize that I had to mention work on a Sunday. But I believe one of the areas that the Lord wants to challenge us in to live a life of endurance is in the area of work. Okay, one of our greatest purposes that we were called to do, that the Lord put us on this earth, is to do work. Work is a godly thing. I didn't get very many amens. Okay, you're thinking of my job. Your job is a God-given thing from the Lord, and so is mine. And I believe one of the main points, even of character development in the next generation, is the ability to do work and the ability to create a work ethic that is going to cause them to be successful in life. You look at Adam and Eve, right? He gave them a job to do tending a garden. And I believe their faithfulness, or maybe lack of faithfulness, says a whole lot about their character, their integrity, and the relationship that they have with their God. And I don't know about you, but I look at a lot of leaders in my life, and I even look at my own life and the tendencies of my life, And I don't know what it is, but we like to do things more than are humanly possible when it comes to work. Right? You're like, I know I have two jobs, but I just want a third one so I can work. Or I know I have two jobs, but I just want to, you know, do something else for a while because I think I can do it. Okay, well, for some reason, we like to do more than is humanly possible. And I think when we do that, I think it really talks about a value system that's in our heart. Because I look at my life and I say, why do I want to do more? Because I feel good about accomplishing things. Because I think if I'm busy in a lot of activities, it makes me feel like a better person. It makes me feel like a better human. It makes me feel like a better leader if I'm just busy all the time. And I think the problem about taking too much, and even this summer as you're spending time with family, is in order to get everything done when you're too busy, you end up taking shortcuts in your life. Right? What happens? Your work starts to get sloppy. Your quality of life starts to go down in the name of getting a ton done. And I want to encourage you this morning that God has not called us to walk in compromise with our work. And God has not called us to walk in strife with the things that He's called us to put our hands to. So I want to encourage you, just as it says in Matthew 11, it says that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. That means that the Lord wants you to enjoy what He's calling you to put your hands to. Yes, the W word. Whatever work the Lord's called you to, He wants you to enjoy that. Well, how do you find joy when you don't like your job? You need to tap into the Spirit of God. You need to tap into the vision that God's given you for why you're there. So in your work, okay, the next thing is this summer to avoid the summer burn in your worship, your work, and in your worship. And no, I'm not talking about the worship that we just experienced this morning with Steve as he led us. And that is awesome. And those are those moments of corporate worship that encourage me. But God's called us all to live a life of worship. Our meditation, our reading, our praying, our personal worship that we do Monday through Friday. Okay, even this week, it's looking. I was driving early in the morning, I think to drive up here, and Mount Rainier was there in all of her glory. And it made me say, God, you are so good. It made me appreciate the beauty and the faithfulness of God, that He could carve a beautiful mountain. And then it made me look at my life and say, He did the same thing for me. He created me more beautiful than Mount Rainier. And He created you more perfect than the most beautiful natural resource that we know. He intricately made you in your mother's womb. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. When you realize that, it just causes you to worship. It causes you to say, God, you are so good. In your worship, I was reminded this week of King David, one of the greatest men in the Bible. And in 1 Samuel 30, it says, David was greatly distressed. And if you read the story of why David was greatly distressed, you realize that it was his warriors that had fought with them were now turning on him because they lost their families and they lost their possessions and different things. So he was greatly distressed. For the people spoke of stoning him because all the people were bitter in soul, each for his own sons and daughters. And then it says, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. You want to live a life that is marked by endurance, then we need to learn how to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Again, there's times in Sunday morning that I'm strengthened by the worship, or I'm strengthened by the sermon that's preached, but I need to be strengthened every day with my own relationship. And I need to find that place where I can truly tap into the presence of God and be encouraged and be uplifted. So you want to avoid that burnout, then learn how to strengthen yourself in the Lord. I want to encourage you this summer to take the time to recognize His goodness, to take the time to recognize His faithfulness in your life. because he's so faithful and he's so good. It's more than the song that we sing. The third area that I want to speak of this morning is we want to live a life that is free from burnout. And some of you are going to struggle with this one, so you're prepared. You're not going to like me, but it's in your play. It got really quiet. Because some of you say, well, we're not called to play. It's okay to play. It's okay to focus on family and just enjoying life with one another. We had a whole weekend up here where we didn't have one corporate worship service, but the presence of God was here. Because there's something really uncomfortable when you have to relate to people that you don't know. But there's something so divine about that at the same time. And I want to encourage us. You want to live a life that is marked by endurance? Then I want to tell you this morning, it's okay to play. And it's okay to have a good time. And I believe that there is an enemy of our soul that's called religion and performance that would want to say, you can't have a good time unless you're, you know, at church, or unless you're, you know, reading your Bible. Read your Bible, be at church, but it's okay to play, and it's okay to relate to one another. I tell you, last night, we had an awesome time up here, but there was something good for my spirit and something good for my soul as I saw Pastor Brian Jackson and his kids racing Jeff Small and some of the Hardebeck family on these 8-foot-long plywood skis with rope, and the goal was to work together and navigate from this side of the sanctuary to that side. There was something good for our souls that just said, that is good. And it was really funny and really entertaining at the same time. But when we just get away and be with the people that God's called us to be with, there's something that can happen in the spirit. And I believe summer is a time that we've been given that we can connect with others, that we can connect with those that we don't know and connect with those that we know, that there's going to be a depth of relationship that can happen in our lives that can do a lot more than we think it can do. So I want to encourage you this summer. I'm not saying just disappear and, you know, turn into the, you know, go, you know, absent without leave. But I want to encourage you, just like Proverbs 17:22 says, it says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Do things that are cultivating a joyful spirit inside of you. And if you want to see a video of Pastor Brian leading his family, losing. They did lose. But I encourage you, you can check it out on our Facebook. But it was God-honoring. It was God-glorifying. And so were the relationships that were built. So this morning, walk in balance as you look at your summer. Right? Don't just disappear, but enjoy life with your family, with your church family, with those who God is calling you to build relationships with. It's okay to play. And the last one this morning that I want to talk about, that if we want to live a lifestyle that is a lifestyle built off of endurance, I want to encourage you to rest. Okay, that's the R word that I don't like very much either. But we see the principle in the Old Testament, one of our Ten Commandments, that the Lord is established. And I think for me, that's an easy one to overlook, because I say, well, I can't accomplish things for God if I'm resting. And I want to encourage you to not lose your effectiveness in the name of being tired. Okay, understand the principle of rest. Okay, understand that rest is key into you not growing tired. Okay, the principle of Sabbath, right? Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Again, I'm not saying it's Saturday or Sunday or Thursday, but what I'm saying is get the principle down in your life, the principle of rest. It speaks of reflection. It speaks of rest and emotional release. that we can just wear ourselves out by going, 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 and we lose focus so easy. Allow the Lord to cultivate rest in your life. Okay, the Hebrew word, literally, it means rest, to not do anything, but to reflect, to be recalibrated, to be rejuvenated. Okay, times of rest are meant to refuel you, to refocus you, to help you assess where your life and where your soul is at. Take this summer to say, God, what are areas that you want to see me grow in this next season? God, where do I need to change? Where do I need to focus? What are you calling me to? Take that time now so you can run that race that he's called you to run. You know, the day of rest, and I find this amazing, the day of rest was considered holy. Come on, read your Bible, right? Read the word. It was considered a holy thing unto the Lord. I'm challenged by that because everything in my mind and in my spirit says, well, no, rest means you're not accomplishing God's will. It's okay. It's okay to rest. And we better be people who can truly be rested in the Lord because of the race that he's called us to win. I want to encourage you, if there's areas in your life today that you don't have the complete answers to, that you don't have the full breakthrough in, you can find rest today in God's promises over those areas. That we can say, God, we're not where we should be, but I'm going to rest in the process that you have me in. This morning, it's okay to rest in that process. Because the resting doesn't mean that the promise is gone. The resting just means that you are going to refocus on what God has called you to walk in for that time. So is your husband or wife not fully where God wants them to be? Well, of course not. They're not there. I'm not there. My wife's not there. But I can rest knowing that the God who began a good work in my wife, and she can rest knowing that the God who began a good work in me is faithful to see us all the way through. And we could take rest in that. We don't need to, be proud or strive in those things. But we can truly find that rest, that holy place with the Lord this morning. And I want to encourage us, lastly, to not allow what we see with our eyes to discourage us. Because again, a lot of times, I can see just partly, but the Lord can see fully. The Lord can see all the way through. The Lord could see past your potential, and he can see what your tomorrows are supposed to look like. I can't see that. I look at my kids, and I could get discouraged, but that's where I say, God, I know you're going to see them all the way through. And so, spiritually, this summer, the Lord wants to rejuvenate us. He wants to renew you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants you to run the race with endurance this morning and not be tired in doing good. But he wants to see good increase in your life this morning. Would you stand up with me as we close this morning? Steve, would you come? I'm just going to, as we're closed, I'm just going to pray, but I just want Steve to lead us in the song, because I believe as we say, God, show me who you are. Show me that you're the way. Show me that you're the truth. I believe even this morning, the Lord wants to rejuvenate some spirits this morning. And so I just want you, as Steve comes and he's just going to play, I just want you to examine your life and examine where you're at. Maybe this morning you're tired. Maybe this morning you're burnt out. Maybe this morning you feel like, you know, you're about ready to quit or about ready to give up. Or even this morning you have thoughts of guilt with, you feel like summertime is just driving you crazy and you should be doing more. I want to encourage you this morning to find rest for your soul. So Steve, would you sing? Just close your eyes and just allow the Spirit of God to just touch you this morning.
And I believe you are the way, the truth, and the life. And I believe you are the way, the truth, and the life. And I believe through every battle, through every heartbreak, through every circumstance, I believe that you are my fortress, and you are my portion, and you are my hiding place. And I believe you are the way, the truth, and the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, and the life. And I believe through every blessing, through every promise, through every breath I take, I believe that you are provider, and you are protector, and you are the one I love. And I believe you are the way, the truth, and the life. And I believe you are the way, the truth, and the life. And I believe.
So Father, all over this place, Father, we believe you are who you say you are. Father, we truly believe that you are the way. Father, that you are the truth. Father, I pray over your people. Father, as we run the race with endurance, Father, that we would throw off the sin and the distractions that want to entangle us this morning. Father, I pray for those that say, I'm tired in doing good. Father, I ask that you would renew them this week. Father, that even this week you would renew families to run the race that you've called them to run. Father, that you would renew ministries this week. Father, that you would renew our faith. Father, I pray over us as we look at those areas of play, of rest. Father, would you do the work that needs to be done in our lives? Father, forgive us where we've had wrong mindsets. Father, forgive us for where we've been burnt out. Forgive us for where we've been not effective because we're doing too much. Father, forgive us this morning. God, we want to run the race that you've called us to run, and we want to run it well. So God, I bless your families today. I bless husbands. I bless wives. Father, I bless sons and daughters today. Father, that we all could run the race. Father, and that we could be rejuvenated to do what you've called us to do. Father, thank you that you are the way. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. Amen, it's good. It's good to see you. God bless you. You are released. Go in his grace, and we'll see you next week.